And in that design, He has already placed His stamp, His signature for your life. Our problem is sometimes we tend not to consult with the manufacturer and we engage life on our own and it becomes painful. I spoke to the students and I said, and I may have mentioned to you, that we buy a phone, a cell phone that's worth $32,000 or $35,000, and we only use it to make calls and receive calls. When the manufacturer made that particular phone, he wanted for you to use about 100 functions. That's why you paid $32,000. You didn't pay $32,000 for a phone to show your neighbor or your work colleague that I have the latest phone. Because you are paying for it. They are not paying. They'll admire it for one day, but next day you are bound to pay $1,000, $1,200 for a contract just to show off. Now, we're not in that business. We checked out of that hotel room. The manufacturer has a particular reason why he has placed all those functions and attached them to that product. And he's so good to us that when you open the package, the first thing you find out is the manual. If you go to use the product without reading the manual, you'll underutilize something that you paid for. Yeah, is it not true? Same with your life. When you came into the earth, the first thing you should have got acquainted with is the blueprint for your life. You should have consulted with God before you engage certain areas of your life. The choices you make, you made outside consulting with Him, outside knowing the blueprint. Anything that we start to build without a plan will be condemned. Ask the building inspectors. You can't find a piece of ground and just start building without allowing yourself to draw a blueprint or a plan. They call that a plan, building plan. And you have to build specifically to that plan. If you fail to do so, that building can be condemned. Same with our lives. We choose to be at a particular place. We choose to marry someone without consultation with the Lord. And the consequences you have to bear and I have to bear. We can't then ask, where is God? God will point us, did you consult the manual for your life? Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God has set out a blueprint for you. And that's why we're bringing ourselves back into order by bringing ourselves back to the blueprint. Yes. Does God speak? Yes, yes or no? Yes. Does God convict? Yes. Does God answer? Yes. Oh, yes. That's why we serve a living God. Anyone or anything living has life. That's why He's known as Zoe Life, because He imparts His life into us. And all of us in this room, some way or another, have made certain choices in our lives and we have regretted certain things we have made because we were impatient. Now, God gave Abraham and Sarah a prophetic word. Yes, amen. That they will bring forth a son. And a son will come from their loins. That Sarah will give birth to a son of promise. But when they received the prophetic word, Sarah was too impatient for the word to come to pass. Sometimes you will receive a prophetic word and it could only be realized much later. Or instant, or say at the same time. I want you not to make any choices or any decisions without consulting the Holy Spirit. Question, is the Holy Spirit alive? Is He your counselor? Is He your advisor? Is He your helper? Is He the paracletos that stands? Is He a person? Then if He's a person, you can have consultations with Him, interactions with Him, consult with Him. I like, you know, I told the students to always, when you have your prayer meetings, when you have your sessions at home, take a chair and put it in front. The natural man then thinks there's someone else in the room. And I know young David Thomas, he told me in the last session, in our session, that he told me, Pastor, I started practicing that. It gives me this feeling that I have someone in the room, and I start to respect the Holy Spirit. I start to talk to him at 4 a.m. So my conversations become meaningful because I know there's someone else in the room with me. Because he's alive. Yes. And so today, beloved, we make these mistakes like Sarah, who called her husband aside and said, husband, take this prophetic word has come. Let's make it work. Let us make it work. Let us make it work. Come on, no, you can't make it work. You submit yourself for God to work his plan in you. Amen. When you want to make it work, no matter how exciting it may sound, you're always going to land in a place where you're going to regret it. Because our flesh lets us down. Come on. Gets us into trouble. We are impatient. Impatience gives rise to ambition. And the Bible says where there's selfish ambition, there's an attraction of all types of evil. Why are you ambitious? Because you're impatient for something to work. So that's why they have introduced products like microwaves and you can't stand too long in front of the stove. So they introduce stuff for instant gratification. Instant gratification. There are so many products that are coming out to boost your instant gratification. Because, and that's a big market. Because they know human beings want things done instantaneously. We can't wait. We can't stand. Let me tell you something. If prayer meetings was all about coming here and being silent to hear the voice of God, there'll be no one coming next week. Because prayer meetings was to our human beings, prayer meetings must be where we are speaking all the time. So we disturb the communication channel because a communication cycle must be a sender and a list and a receiver. Come on. And in between, there must be no distractions or things that will spoil that communication process. So one speaks is a sender, and one listens, which is the receiver. That is healthy communication. And when we think about how God created us, he created us with two organs to speak, isn't it? And one organ to speak. You got it the other way, isn't it? So that's why God has created us to hear more than we speak. This is poor communication when two people are speaking at the same time. So one person is already engineered an answer while the other person hasn't completed speaking. That's poor communication. Because everyone wants things done instantaneously, and everyone wants what they want to be given to them, say at the same time. And that's why Ishmael was born, because of instant gratification. I want it now. God spoke to them, but they refused to wait for the timing. And so Sarah said to her husband, you can go into our servant and produce this child. Because God said it, we must make it happen. No, you don't make it happen. You submit yourself for him to work his plan in you. Yes. You won't get into trouble. Sometimes it can take 14 years. Sometimes it can take a whole lifetime. But when it takes place, it becomes sweet. So So I want to speak on the series, the sub-series under this. I want to speak on a series, sub-series under divine design, order, and glory. You see, the design is there. We have to now bring back the order in order to see the effect and the maximum impact of the design. And the result is the glory of God. We are heading for the glory. We all want the glory. And the glory will rest in you. Someone prayed this morning that we are the glory of God. That's why Jesus came full of glory and full of truth, full of grace, so that the glory of God will be manifested for us to receive and house that glory. Okay, so we will discuss glory in some other time. This morning, I want to just speak or start this sub-series on mountain sight versus valley sight. Mountain sight versus valley sight. Now, let me just ask you a question. If you are in a valley, the only person that you see is yourself. The only person that you're concerned about is yourself. Is that true? My problem. So in a valley, your problem becomes your all. Your sight is, you are dwarfed. Your sight is limited. You cannot see. All you see is wall around you when you're in a valley. Come on. So you're forced to feel sorry for yourself. You're forced to look at yourself as the only person that has this particular problem. And we feel sorry for ourselves. And so there is this narcissistic behavioral pattern that is developed because of a valley, of a valley sight. All we see is ourselves. All we feel sorry for is ourselves. And we fail to recognize the good and the benefit of having others around us. And when you have sight of a person that is bound in a valley, you always are going to fail to see the worth outside you. That's why when you're faced with an issue, everyone else is wrong, you are the only one that's right. Am I speaking to the right group this morning? It's because of a valley vision. Put up for me this morning Isaiah chapter 22 verse 1. I want you to be zoomed out of a valley this morning, and in the series, I want to say, it's like something must suck you out of the valley and take you to a mountaintop. When you are in a mountaintop, your sight changes. The word is sophos. You'll be able to be like a watchman. You can watch what is coming to destroy you. Also, you can prepare yourself from a mountaintop to protect yourself against things. Also, your sight becomes changed, and you are now motivated by the essence of life. Your elevation changes when you are raised up out of a valley. And when your elevation changes, your sight changes. When your sight changes, you then begin to access things that you previously were disadvantaged to access. Now, God has tailor-made or custom-made a plan for your life. You are not a mistake. You are a masterpiece. You are carrying something that's in this treasure box inside you. The treasure is inside of you. Go and ask Paul when he wrote the book of Corinthians. He says the treasure is locked up in earthen vessels. There is something inside of you. You have to engage an expedition inside of you to find the treasure. You open the treasure box, it tells you everything that the blueprint has for your life. Some of you have been listening to friends. Some of you have been listening to the wrong voices, and they told you that you won't amount to much. But today, we want to zoom out of, we want to like be pulled out of this, sucked out of this place of self-pity, of place where we think the whole world is crumbling. And I don't blame you if you feel like that, because that's what the valley does to you. Let me just read the scripture. The burden against the, let's call this the valley of vision. I'm taking you out of the valley of vision, because the valley has a limited vision for you. It disturbs the plan of God, the blueprint. You can't see the blueprint. You only are one dimensional. In the week I went to see this movie Sing 2. And last week in Gauteng, that side. But they gave me this 3D glasses to get this for both of us. The 3D glasses. And it's so wonderful because you can see the characters coming close to you and you enjoy it. So they have 1D, 2D, 3D. Christians were never meant to be one dimensional, because we're multifaceted. There are numerous streams in your mind that you have not discovered yet. There are value in you that you have locked up and you're not concerned about it. You know why? Babylon is designed to take you away from those things that are inside of you. I speak to you like this morning out of my great concern that you will break out of your insignificance. That you will no more in this church say, I'm good for nothing. You won't say, I can't. You will attain things that previously you were held back. Today, in the name of the Lord, I'm praying that your arm, your hands will be set free. Your walk will change. Your position will change. You'll begin to see yourself as the head and not the tail. I may not be able to finish what I'm saying, but at least I started. Look at this. The burden against the valley of the vision. What hails you now that you have all gone up to the... You see, when you have a valley vision, you may be able to see some things in your lifetime. But a valley vision can only take you to a certain spot, to a housetop. We're not going to housetops. We are going to mountaintops. You can't stop at a housetop. When you have a valley vision, it'll take you to a housetop. It'll deceive you that you are like on a mountain, but you'll only get to a housetop. I don't want you in this church to be on housetops and believe we have achieved. God has spoken from mountain. Mountain speaks about manifestations. Mountain speaks about epiphanies. Mountain speaks about the presence of God. When we think of Mount Sinai, when God summoned Moses to come there, and we'll discuss these things, there was a significance about a mountaintop. When God said to Abraham, take your son and go up to Mount Moriah, there's something that's going to happen on a mountaintop. When God spoke, when Jesus said to his disciples, I see you out on the mountaintop. All the multitudes did not go there, because some of the greatest teachings were received, and we're going to look at that on a mountaintop. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 5. Then we go to Revelation, and we find that John has a vision of something coming from a mountaintop. Hallelujah. A new Jerusalem, a new heaven descending from somewhere higher up. So new elevations that are produced and that are introduced to us by having a mentality called a mountain will always give us the advantage of seeing things differently. Amen, amen. So let's discover, let's just journey to see how we can get rid of this valley vision, hallelujah, and start seeing things from an elevated position. Come on, let's start from there. Let's start from the top and come down, not starting down at the valley. Some of us are staying too long. So if you look at this verse, this vision creates a delusion. When you're in the valley, you say to yourself, if I just get to the housetop, I'll be okay. That's what you want. At least I'll get out of this valley, but I can get to the housetop and that's where my life will end. No! Your life will end on a mountain. Even the church was never meant to have a vision that is valley set. Micah, put Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 for me, please. This is what God said about the church. The church is people, isn't it? Church is not a building. Church is people. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain, underline that in your Bibles, mountain. The Lord's house should be a mountain on a mountain. Hallelujah. So we have to see things from a mountain. Our worship should be mountain worship. The word should come from the mountaintop. Everything should be elevated to a mountain. Your decision should come from a mountain. The way you lead your family should come from above. Something about a mountain, proximity to the voice of God is always better. Your antenna is clearer. Your antenna is set to the mountain. When you sit on a mountain, your antenna to the throne room is better position, and you access things better. Because see, can I tell you something? The mountain adjusts your thinking. When you're in the valley, your thinking is processed from a valley position. And what does the valley tell you? I can't get out. I'll stay like this till I die. I'll have to go through these troubles throughout my life. I'll stay like this. I won't change. I can't get out. Nobody to help me. And I've got nothing. I didn't amount to much. My father was like this and I'm like this. And my children will be like this. So I just have to accept this like this. I'll accept it. I'll accept it. This is my pattern. I'll operate from this valley. As long as I have a slice of bread, as long as I have a shelter, I'll stay in the valley. Come on. Kings were never meant to be there. Yeah. Come on. You know, David said, he asked a question. He asked, who from the house of Saul is still alive? I remember having a talk with some of the people from Saul's house. Is anyone left there? And they said, there is somebody. While Ziba, the servant, was carrying this boy out, he dropped him and his two legs are paralyzed. He's lying in Lodabar. Lodabar represents a dry place. You know this, I was driving to church. Today, I was driving to church and I said to Mama, well, something caught my eye. I said to her, and Tammy was like, I said, why do chats, some of our houses in Chatswood, they leave the weeds to grow so long, and the front verge is from there to here. It's almost a meter. It would be big weeds, nothing good. I'm sure they're waiting for the municipal, but municipal will not cut it. If the municipal doesn't come, you must take care of your verges. Yes. You must look if there's any weeds, anything that is, take it out. From 1 meter, you can buy some buffalo grass and plant it outside. Or you can do paving for 1 meter outside. It looked neater. But you see, our people's mentality is, We're born like this. We are from Chatsworth. We'll stay like this. Weeds will be outside. We won't paint. Walls are not painted. We'll just stay like this. Valley mentality. You can't stay that way anymore. Especially if you're a king and a priest. If you belong to an apostolic company, you can't stay like this. That's why I say, get your house in order. Serve the death blow to this valley mentality. Stop blaming your father and your mother. You are big now. What happened 20 or 30 years ago can't impact you anymore. You've listened to 100 sermons so far in the gap that should have changed you.
Amen.
I want to visit your yard. I want to give me some place to pave the place outside so I can park the car when I come. Not big weeds. Get rid of all the weeds. Let me tell you something. You have a hoe in your hand. It'll take you half an hour to dig all those weeds out. Or pay a boy 150 rand a day. He'll clean up your yard. Come on.
Yes.
Cleanliness is close to godliness. It tells you, you know, if I came to your house and you said, give me a chance to get in, let me look at your wardrobes and everything is kachmuch. Turned like this and thrown in the cupboards, all your clothes swung, put in the things all upside down. You saw pastor came, you push everything inside. As the doors open, everything is falling out. It'll tell us how you live your life, whether there's order in your life. Come on. Order in your life. We are talking about the blueprint of kings that walk, that know how, they have a particular stature, a particular walk in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now look at this verse. We'll come back to that. Can we do a complete study on that? And I want to talk to you about two orders in this story. The Shebna order and the Elikam order. You go and read that for me. When we come, we'll process it together. Okay, Shebna versus Elikam. Two orders in one house. We're going to change that. Shift away from a valley view. Valley view. What view do you get from a valley except valley view? We need to shift that to a mountain. Micah chapter 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, talking about these days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Where? Where? We can't have worship in a valley where God is saying in the latter days, everything that happens in church must be established on top of the mountain. So we have to have mountaintop word, mountaintop worship, mountaintop care, mountaintop interaction, mountaintop family, mountaintop interdependence. All must take place from a mountaintop. Maybe it's a good study. The children need to go and learn about mountains. And shall be exalted above the... Again, we're not going to concentrate on hills. So what we're going to do must be exalted above the hill. Above the hill. And peoples shall flow to it. I'm going to tell you something. There'll be a host of people waiting at the door 1 hour before the service, waiting to get into this corporate gathering. You know why? They'll flow into it. Why? Why? Because we're going to set ourselves, reset ourselves, check ourselves out, evaluate ourselves, and tell ourselves we're no more going to do church from a valley.
Yes.
You want that? You want your children to be infected with a new mentality? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Come on. Come on. It's going to happen. Let's look at Psalm 2 verse 7 and 8. This is what God is saying to you. Every righteous son of obedience is a heir of God. I want you to repeat that with me. I am a heir of God. That means everything that God possesses is yours. Is this in the word of God? Yes. I'm a heir of God and I'm a co-heir with my elder brother Jesus. That's why he's not ashamed to call us brothers if we are righteous and obedient. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, if you go here, you see, I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Now, our daddy has great plans for you. Go read the blueprint. Go find out. Ask of me means find out the blueprint. Come on. Find out, ask of me. There's something that you don't have to slog for, don't have to sweat for, don't have to battle for. Things are part of the plan that God has for you. God says, I know the plans I have for you. There is a plan I have for you, every one of you. Plans to prosper you. No plans to harm you and to hurt you and to see you going down. My plans are for you to be successful. My plan is for you to be great. You know, I had some underpinning in my house, and so I submitted an insurance claim. Somebody said, although I paid the builder, somebody said we can't submit an insurance claim. So we called for the assessors. The assessor came after 4 weeks, and after all that, we closed up everything. He's now come on, and he got a full report. Then he said to me, I'll have to go back and look at the fine print of your contract. Did he say that? I'll come back to you. I want to see the fine print. The fine print means they may pay me or may not pay me. Yeah. You understand? Now, many of us have this contract or this plan or this template from God for your life, but you're not looking at the fine print. Because instant gratification tells me, let me see those things that are glaring or being amplified. There is a fine print, and in that fine print is a secret for your life. Lies all the important information to drive your life from darkness to life, from not enough to more than enough, from deficit to surplus. I like those words. There is that fine print for you. You are tailor-made. You are custom-made. There is a plan for you. Amen. Amen. So let's just ask of me and I'll give you this. How much time do I have? Time's up. Oh. I was just enjoying it. And this is my birthday weekend. Gerald, where are you? Gerald and myself on the same trip, same boat. Started Friday, still going on. First physical celebration, spiritual celebration. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Can I have 5 minutes? Sit over. Stand up with me now. Stop right there. Let's leave. Let's check out of this valley. Can you see me coming there with Owen sending a chain down, a rope down through the sermons and teachings and saying, come on, I'm pulling you up. How many of you have seen an operation where someone was lost in a valley or in a cliff or somewhere down there, and these guys that, and I'm sure Devin is not here, he works as a fireman, and they do these things. They help people, they rescue pets, they rescue people that are lost in a mountain. Sometimes a storm would come out their way and someone is lost in a mountain, and we call for these special services, rescue services. They come to rescue. And I want to be part of